Through the last couple of weeks, we have been talking a little bit about covenant. We started off with a covenant that was exampled in Adam and Noah, loosely called the covenant of creation. We live in a well-ordered world where what we need to live is made available to us. We live in a world that is protected by a God who has chosen to promise not to wipe the slate clean again by destroying all human life. We live in a well-ordered world that, according to the psalm, shows forth God's glory and God's greatness for everyone to see. We also live in a world where God has made a promise. A promise to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah 90. And God promises that they will have a child through whom the world will be blessed with multitudes of people. That the descendants of Abraham and Sarah will be more than the grains of sand on the beach. Now, this is kind of a humorous thing for Sarah because she knows full well that she is way past childbearing years, and yet because God has promised it, they can count on it. And Abraham takes it on faith that it will happen. Well, let's see what happened with Abraham that moves us up in the story a little bit. Recall with me what happens after Abraham. We hear about Abraham traveling and having that son. And we hear about that son being married and having children. And we hear about the children of grandchildren of Abraham and Joseph and all that story. And eventually, the people of Abraham's family all end up in Egypt. And they're in the eastern part of Egypt, and the Egyptians are abusing them. The Egyptians are putting them to work as slaves and making their life miserable. And they cry to God for help. God sends help in the form of Moses. And we know the story about how Moses challenged Pharaoh, and there was the 10 plagues of Egypt, and Pharaoh finally gave in and let the people go, and Moses led them down to the Red Sea. Pharaoh, regretting his decision to let them go, chases after them with an army. Moses touches the sea, it parts, everybody gets across dry. Pharaoh's army starts into the sea, and he puts his staff back on it, and the sea rushes over, destroys Pharaoh's army, and the people of God are free at last. Right? Yeah, they're free. The Egyptians can't get them. And you know what they start to, the first thing they start to do? Moan and complain. It doesn't take too long for them to begin to mutter at what God had done for them, because it looked like they weren't going to have some regular meals and water was going to become hard to come by. You know, eventually they wander around Sinai, and at some point they're down there on the mountain, right at the foot, and Moses goes up. God gives the people these commands through Moses, and Moses brings them down. The first set, he got mad because they had already broken the law by the time he had gotten down there. No more had they been written in stone, but the people had already broken them. And so Moses literally threw him down on the ground and broke him again. Went back up and got him another set and brought him down. The Ten Commandments have a funny history. They have a funny history with the people whom they were first given to. And they have even a funnier history with us, I think. Because it seems to me that we are so eager to defend the rightness of the Ten Commandments as a basis for our civil society, we're so eager that others would acknowledge the evident greatness and propriety of these commandments. We are willing to talk about how God has given these commandments. And then we think up of all sorts of reasons why we can't keep them. We don't know them. We can't remember them. If we remember all 10, we may not get it in the right order. Lent is a time for us to think about this. God's covenant, God's promise making, seems to be a good thing when it assures us of a secure creation that provides all we need. God's covenant that promises that future generations will be blessed and cared for by God sounds like something to hope for. But oh my goodness, when God's covenant becomes something that comes close enough to keep us from doing what we want to do, then we are more than willing to dispute God. Jack was exactly right. He said it like it is. He didn't obey his mom and dad because he didn't want to. He didn't make any excuses about how somebody else got him in trouble, though I bet you he might do that sometimes. And he didn't tell us that the law of God was wrong. It was wrong for his mom and dad to ask him to do that. No. I didn't do it because I didn't want to. Would we be that honest with God? And just tell God that the reason we don't keep his commandments is because we don't want to. Now, I'm sure we would like to pick and choose, like a menu. But this is not 10 choices. This is not 10 options. Whatever one you keep does not mean you don't have to keep the others. Or if you keep 9, but you miss on one, still doesn't count. We don't like it when God's promises begin to inconvenience us. But if we want to enjoy the fullness of God's gift of life, God's gift of salvation, God's gift of His presence, don't you think that we might want to rethink our position about our own convenience? About our not wanting to. Maybe it's time for us to say, wait a second. You know, there's not a one of those commandments that I can't keep. At least for the next 15 minutes. And then when that 15 minutes is up, then you can go, hey, there's not a one of those commandments that I can't keep for the next 15 minutes. And on, until all of a sudden you realize that most of the time you're keeping those commandments. To the point where when you do find yourself having transgressed, you go, well, that's interesting. Why didn't I do what I know I should have done? And then you can come to God and you can say, God, you know what? I didn't want to. I didn't do it. I broke your law, didn't want to obey. Wasn't any else's fault but mine. I did it. You'll be amazed at what comes from such honesty before God. I don't know about the parents in the congregation, but I know me as a parent don't want to hear excuses from my children. I don't care what somebody else is doing. Right, Joey? I don't care who made you do it. And I'm not going to believe that you were made a bad person, and that's just the way you are. What I am going to believe of my children, and frankly of the children that I'm given to care for, and of myself, is that sometimes I don't want to do what I fully can do to please God. Sometimes I want to do what I want to do. And Lord knows I have paid for that. Oh my, so have you. Every one of you know of a time in your life where you did what you wanted to do and you regret it to this day. Do I get a witness? You know. And you wish you could go back and take it back. And no amount of times of saying, I didn't mean to, I didn't know what was going to happen, it doesn't matter. You did it. And God forgives. The pastor forgives too. Bless you, my sin, and go sin no more. I have to say that that was an improvement on the last time that I encountered that situation, which was uglier than that. So, these commandments are a gift from God. Keeping them is within our power. Choosing to obey them is possible. And we might want to think about setting the standard a little higher than we have for ourselves and for the life of our community. And say with a certain amount of clarity that these commandments are righteous and good. They are a gift of God. There is life in them. And while they do not save us, while they do not make us acceptable to God by our doing them, they do keep us in the general path and trend towards God's love and salvation. Nothing Jesus said took these commandments away. Everything Jesus did and said, however, could be seen at the end of these commandments, especially if you obey them, if you honor them. We don't have time to talk about what that means in each individual case, but I would give you a couple of suggestions that maybe you take this bulletin home today and you put those Ten Commandments into your mind so you know them by heart. The second thing, and seriously, commit to knowing them by heart, in order, and then start thinking about them and what they mean. That this is not the final word on God's covenant, that God has something more to give, something that is so very precious, so very wonderful, and that these commandments point toward that precious, precious gift. The psalmist tells us that these laws are precious, more precious than gold, more precious than food, more precious than life itself. I suggest we test the psalmist's claim and see for ourselves just how wonderful they are. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for these commandments, not suggestions, not ideas, not basic guidelines, commandments. Help us to see and acknowledge their rightness. Help us to see and acknowledge our capacity to do them, to obey them. Help us see when we fail to obey them, and to be honest about our basic inclination, which is sometimes we just don't want to do what you want us to do. And help us to deal with that. For your grace goes before us, and your grace saves us, and your grace comes afterwards to help us to grow. Thank you, God, for these gifts. In Christ's name.